Welcome back to episode number 266 of the Dust Safety Science Podcast. This is a podcast for building a global community around process safety and industries handling combustible dust. I'm your show host, Dr. Chris Cloney. In today's episode, we are discussing how to choose which vacuum to use for your application. And we're doing that with Mark Ramos, Business Development Manager with Nilfisk, and he is based out of Highlands Ranch, Colorado. Mark, welcome to the Dust Safety Science Podcast.
Chris, thanks. Glad to be here.
Super excited to have Mark on today and to be talking about vacuum systems. We've actually recently been getting more and more requests through dust safety professionals and through our help desk system about selecting the correct vacuum. That was sort of the impetus for reaching out to Nilfisk to get Mark on the podcast. We had Roger Guerrera on the podcast back in episode 207, talking about certification of portable vacuum systems for use with combustible dust. So I kind of call that like a companion episode to this. Now we talked a little bit more about certification, which I think we'll probably talk a bit about today. Today is more, okay, what site do you have? What kind of material do you have? What range of options are there for vacuum systems for your industrial vacuum? And what considerations should you be thinking about when purchasing these systems? So that's what we're going to talk through today. We're also going to talk a bit about site assessment and what it looks like to have somebody come out to do this type of understanding of which vacuum you should use for your site. So Mark, to kind of jump into the podcast episode, what do you do with your work? What industries do you work with, and what kind of companies do you typically work with today?
So, Chris, I'm the, like you said, I'm the business development manager for Nilfisk for the western half of the United States. So I support all our people that have responsibility for selling our line of industrial vacuums in that area. And it could be anything from making joint calls out at end users. It could be helping with training, which is one thing I do. We have a lot of new people around the country, so I'm involved with that for the line of industrial vacuums. As far as customers, I mean, there's a pretty broad spectrum of places that I've been to over 24 years with Nilfisk. Predominantly, a lot of our time is spent in food facilities, pharmaceutical, nutraceutical, now with an emphasis in the high-tech sector down here for chip production. Spent a lot of time over the years in semiconductor and high-tech, but pretty much anywhere where people are dealing with nuisance or hazardous dust, you'll find us there. So, which is a pretty wide spectrum of industries at that point.
Yeah, certainly it is. And I appreciate your experience, one, you know, being in this for well over 20 years now, but two, also that you're doing the training for folks as well. I think that's really helpful. We have had some podcast episodes in the past on vacuum systems. I am not an expert in this area, and generally, and folks will know this a bit because we will have released last week an episode on hazardous area classification. The whole topic seems to make my head spin a bit, which is a little bit funny because I'm pretty good with combustible dust, with physics and chemistry, but then we get into vacuum systems and it seems to be hazardous area and equipment to use in those hazardous areas. And I don't know, for some reason I need somebody to explain it to me. So hopefully that training background will come to light today and you're able to show some of the stuff for us. I guess let's start with like in general sense. So non-combustible dust, what considerations should someone be looking at when purchasing an industrial vacuum system in general? And then I want to go down the track of, okay, well, what other considerations are there for combustible dust?
Yeah, so good question. And I'll put my training hat on at this point. So when I'm training new people, especially people that haven't been in the industry, you know, to them, a vacuum is something that they use to clean up at home. But there's various, if we can basically boil it down to five questions from a customer to get answered, it usually gives us a pretty good idea of what direction to go, because the line of products that we offer is very wide. And even for newer people, it can be quite confusing at that point. But initially, if the customer can tell us, you know, what are you picking up? You know, is the material light? Is it heavy? You know, is it a liquid? Is it, you know, dust? Is it chunks of stuff or whatever? It helps define basically what we're getting into. Then at that point, it's how much are you picking up? Are you picking up a little or are you picking up a lot? You know, that would give us an idea as to, you know, collection capacity of a vacuum that we would need to provide to handle that application. Then the next thing is, you know, is the material hazardous or combustible? Because that would be able to minimize the breadth of products that could be an option at that point. Yeah, I know we'll get into combustible dust a little bit more later, but even hazardous materials now, there's more and more scrutiny on what operators are exposed to. And so we need to make those considerations as well. And then is, you know, what type of power do you want to use for the vacuum? So is it, do you want it to run off electricity? Do you want it to run off compressed air? And now do you want it to run off a lithium ion battery? Because I don't have electrical outlets. I don't have compressed air in the areas where I need a vacuum to do some cleanup. And the last thing we ask too is also, you know, do you have a budget for the project? Doing this for a number of years, a lot of time customers have a really stringent need, but the budget doesn't warrant what they really need to do the job properly. And I know over the years, I've even, you know, told some customers that I'd rather turn you down than let you down, because the product where your budget fits into is really not going to do what you need to do. And so we just try to inform people the best that we can in order to support them the best that we can.
Yeah, it makes sense. I really like those questions. What material? How much material? Is it hazardous or combustible? What type of power are you looking at? And then what are the budgets that you're trying to work within, as a good way to lay out the different requirements? When we get into combustible dusts, so this would be a site that's either handling a combustible dust or potentially combustible dust, would fall in that category of the third question. What are the different range of options then? You mentioned that sort of narrows the scope of what you can be using. What does that look like for folks?
Yeah, so there's different designations. So here in the U.S., you know, basically you have areas that would be defined as explosive environments. There could be the requirement might need, in order to vacuum up product in this area, we need something that is certified as explosion proof. Some areas you might be dealing with dust and they might be a little less stringent. So you would have the requirement might be for something that meets the Class 2 Division 2 certification. And more recently, it might be, hey, I need to pick up a combustible dust. I know that the area where I need to do that is not rated in any way, shape, or form. I just need a product that is safer to do that. And now with the advent of some products that are under the ACD terminology, which means appliance for combustible dust, we can do that as well. So the key there is that, number one, it actually has a certification from an NRTL. You know, you think of your appliances at home that, you know, most of them will have a UL certification sticker on them. For us, we use CSA for here in the States because it covers pretty much North America for us, as opposed to European designations, since Nilfus is a global company, which would be under the ATEX certifications. So various things to consider there. And the one thing that we can't do is tell somebody what they need to use. They need to give us what the criteria is so that we can match that up with the products we have that would have the certification to be able to be used in those areas.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And so it sounds like the categories really might be three today. So you'd have Class 2 Division 1, which would be, if I'm understanding correctly, certified explosion proof. Class 2 Division 2, which would be a less stringent requirement. And that's in a case where you have combustible dust in the area under, say, non-normal or irregular conditions, or under upset conditions, as opposed to Div 1, where you have it under normal or regular conditions. And then ACD, which you had appliance for combustible dusts. And this is where you're picking up combustible dust, but not necessarily in a rated area, an area that would have combustible dust outside of the vacuum equipment, you know, normally or in very small amounts. Is that, am I classifying that right? And that's kind of three broad categories that you're looking at?
Yeah, exactly. It would be those three. And hopefully the customers, even though it's interesting to me, I was thinking the other day that, you know, we go all the way back to 2008 with the Imperial Sugar Mill explosion that OSHA's National Emphasis Program started. And you would think by now that a lot of people would have a pretty good understanding of, number one, the products or the materials they're dealing with, the areas, whether they're classified or not or whatever. But it's an ongoing process to get everybody up to speed to make sure they're protecting their facilities and the workers in those facilities. And so we try to help inform people the best that we can, and to help them, you know, make the right decisions to be able to take care of what they need to take care of.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And I couldn't agree more. I think I can't remember if I did a podcast episode on this, but I know I did one on the standard. So the first standard for combustible dust for cocoa and sugar was written in 1922. So mm-hmm. Almost 80 or 90 years before Imperial Sugar. And certainly there were a lot of sugar mill explosions between the early 90s and 1950 as well. Those, I couldn't remember if I covered those on the podcast before, but we had talked about that before, as, you know, Imperial Sugar is like the most recent renaissance, but this is an ongoing challenge that's gone on many decades before that as well. I want to circle back to ACD because this might be a new terminology that folks, it was certainly was new to me. And somebody actually emailed me maybe 8 months ago and said, what's the deal with ACD, appliance for combustible dust, that certification, how does it fit in with ATEX? At that point, I didn't know anything about it. I know a little bit more now, but still not very much. So let's talk about that, but I'll frame it in. I did talk class two, division one, class two, division two, and this other option. The big difference between the class and division and ACD, from my understanding of going through this conversation, is that class two, division two would be the dust that's outside the equipment. So you're looking at voiding the vacuum being ignition source in those hazardous areas. Can you talk a bit about how ACD fits in and what's the difference between ATEX certified vacuum, ACD certified vacuum? And, you know, how should folks be thinking about this and where did ACD come from?
Yeah, so I guess a little bit. So the ATEX certification is more of a European designation where they deal with basically, you know, zones that are defined in a certain way over there. And actually, ATEX equipment, which will show up over here, which since I'm in the U.S., that's what I'll compare it to. ATEX equipment might be part of a system that comes over from an equipment manufacturer in Europe and it lands here in the States. And really, ATEX doesn't really have a place. It doesn't fit the criteria here in the U.S. because here we use, you know, classes and groups to define sort of what's going on in certain areas and what have you. So ATEX is a little bit different, but the arrival of the ACD machines, which is more recent, we've been doing some things for a while on certain equipment. We're actually going to have in the next few months some actual ACD machines that come in. And basically what those are for is a scenario would be I'm a food manufacturer. I have a warehouse where I'm keeping ingredients that might be in dry form, powders or whatever. I don't have any production going on. I don't have any potential ignition sources and those types of things. But I might have a spill that happens because a super sack of product, you know, has a tear in it. So I'm spilling the floor, but I want to make sure I use the appropriate product. It's a non-classified area, like I mentioned. So an ACD unit, which is an appliance, you know, is the acronym for appliance for combustible dust, would be a vacuum that has some protections built in, basically grounding and bonding to make it safer to use to pick up that product. Basically always putting safety first, because I've been into a lot of facilities over the years and you never know what you're going to get involved in. But so it's trying to make a safer product in those instances. You could even have some places inside a production facility that are deemed as not having a rating where an ACD unit could be used. It's more of a, like I said, you mentioned the question you had about 8 months ago. I mean, it's been more recent where I started hearing that term. I was just recently, a few weeks ago, over at our global product council where we had people from all over the world that do what I do in the industrial vacuum group, where we started sharing some stories about this. And so it's starting to grow around the world that people are looking for something like this that may be a little less costly, but we'll have some built-in protections to make things safe for people that have to do the job in those facilities.
Yeah, it makes sense. And so we have sort of this range of options. And to clarify, I think the gentleman that reached out to me maybe even was before, I don't know if the regulations or the standards have even been developed, but it was pre that. It was sort of when some folks were talking about it, discussing it. But the end side is it's pretty new and it may even take a while to take hold in the U.S. As well. So it's just interesting for folks. If you're in the space, you may want to look into it more. It wasn't necessarily to give a full understanding of it in this episode, but just to say it's sort of going to be in the range of options that you'll see coming out. I know your team is pretty big on doing these sort of site assessments and working with clients to understand what are their option range and where might some of the best fits fit in. How does someone choose at the end of the day between a class two div one, class two div two, an ACD option? Like, what kind of elements should they be looking at, and what do you guys look at when you go in and support them with this work?
Yeah, so the site assessment has been, you know, a major focus for us for many years now. I mean, we have people that cover all parts of the country here and actually up in Canada as well. And so it's really to be able to get in and to see what's happening. I mean, a customer could call you and explain, hey, I'm looking for a vacuum to do this. But to really get a good picture of what's going on in that facility, to be able to go in and walk through with somebody and see everything that's going on, allows us to be, you know, more of a trusted source to them, because we can see some things that maybe they're not thinking of that should go into the decision of what direction that they're going to go. I always tell like new people at Nilfisk that I'm out in the field with, is that you might go in and make a call with me, and you'll notice that once I walk inside of a production facility, my eyes tend to stray from ground level, because that's easy and stuff that everybody can see. And so a lot of times I'll look up to see, you know, is there dust that's congregated in areas that are above ground where a lot of people don't see, could be up on, you know, beams and pipes and stuff like that. Look at what's going on from a production standpoint. You'll find in a lot of facilities, especially ones that may be a little bit older, that their process is generating a lot of that dust. And there could be ways on their equipment to take a look at some source capture type things and whatever to minimize the amount of dust that might migrate around the plant. So being able to go in and actually see what's going on and have a more in-depth conversation with the customer will allow us to provide some potential solutions that might be able to help them take care of some issues that they're dealing with. At the end of the day, though, regardless, especially when it comes to combustible dust, whatever things that we see and based on what we're seeing recommendations, at the end of the day, they should go to whoever their AHJ is, which is an authority having jurisdiction that has the final call of what the requirement is. And if it meets what they're trying to do, that AHJ could be a, you know, it could be a corporate health and safety person. It could be the plant manager. It could be their insurance company or whatever. You know, I think back to, I believe it was 2012. There was an NFPA event down in Las Vegas that I went to. We had a booth there, and we thought there would be a fair amount of customers coming along. And actually, there were a lot of insurance companies coming around, because they were the ones that were assuming the risk to insure these facilities. And so they were also looking at ways to help companies that they're insuring, to try to make sure they could get information to the right people to protect those facilities. So at the end of the day, the better job a customer can do in giving us the full amount of information for us to try to help support them the best that we can, then the better off both parties are at that point.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And do you ever get to the point of asking folk, like, try figuring out the difference between maybe a mobile vacuum or a central vacuum or a fixed system? Are these kind of things also, or maybe even a large vacuum compared to a couple of small ones, are those sort of parameters that tend to come up in these sort of assessments as well?
Yeah, we can offer, you know, a variety of solutions. But yeah, that does come up a lot depending upon what's going on. I know that a lot of times it comes down to budget, what direction they want to go, you know, because usually a central vac system that would be dealing with combustible dust might get, you know, a little costly at a certain point, and maybe the cost of some portable units to take care of the issues that they're having is more feasible to them. It really, at the end of the day, comes down to what the customer would like to do. And then if you think back to the questions that I asked, you know, that we would ask going into a situation like that, it really comes down to the budget. To this day, still, you know, I'll get involved in some situations with the people that I support on the Nilfisk end, and a customer is, you know, has grand plans of what they want to do, but they have a budget that is really on the low end of trying to come up with a solution for it. So you need to be able to have some pretty in-depth conversations to do the right job for the customers. Because at the end of the day, you know, to provide a solution that works and keeps people safe is what we're trying to get to. And that's why the site assessment ends up being critical, to be able to get as much information we can to provide those solutions.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And you mentioned there, the start, I'd rather turn you down than let you down. You can't really do that if you don't see their site and understand their hazards, right? Otherwise, yeah, it's just, here's what we need, and there's no support that you can provide.
Exactly. And, you know, then there's still people that don't, you know, don't have the time for you to come in or whatever, and that's fine. And so we try to, again, ask questions from afar to get to where we need to go. But really, at the end of the day, I mean, there are a lot of options that we can offer. So for us, it's also important too. I mean, if you have a 100 or so different products you can offer, to try to figure out exactly which one is a fit, you know, take some information to be able to do that. So that ends up being very key.
Makes a lot of sense. I think that's all we got for today. It was really meant to be a shorter episode on, you know, how do you choose a vacuum? What are the options? We talked a bit about what's coming up in ACD and that. If somebody wants to contact you or understand the solution from Nilfisk, where's the best place for them to go to get a hold of that?
Probably the easiest way would be to go to our website, which is, you know, www.nilfisk, which is N as in Nancy, I-L, F as in Frank, I-S-K.com. And when you go there, it'll be a website that shows all the products that Nilfisk offers. So in the product drop-down menu, you can get into industrial vacuums. And on that page, you'll see a phone number. You'll see a website to go to that you can put in some information if you just want somebody to call you, or you could, you know, put in some information on a certain application that you're looking for something for. And then our local reps, depending on what type, what part of the country you're in, would reach out and see what they can do to help you.
Yeah, and we use, because Nilfisk is a member with Dust Safety Professionals, and we do get these sort of requests coming in. We use the Find a Sales Rep tool quite a bit on there.
Yep.
I just Googled Nilfisk Find a Sales Rep, and yep, the tool just comes up there. That's a really easy way to find out who's local in your area and who's going to be the best person to kind of lead you in that information as well.
Correct. Yep.
Okay, well, we'll put links in the show notes at dustsafetyscience.com/266, both the Nilfisk website and that Find a Sales Rep tool. I will have some way to contact Mark as well if you're interested in connecting with him and asking more questions about the different certifications, different options that are available, that sort of thing. That'd be a really good use of the time there. Mark, I want to say thank you to the Nilfisk team and thank you to yourself for coming on. I'm continuing to help educate the audience with combustible dust in relation to industrial vacuums and for the work that your team does out there. We appreciate it.
Chris, I appreciate the time and the opportunity and look forward to working together as we move forward.
Thanks, Mark. We'll be talking soon. So you've been listening to myself, Dr. Chris Cloney, and Mark Ramos, Business Development Manager with Nilfisk, and he is based out of the Highlands Ranch, Colorado. We're talking about how to choose which vacuum to use for your application. And this really, again, came out of one, a need in that we were getting requests through Dust Safety Professionals and through our help desk, talking about different vacuum systems. This could be on the back of a dust hazard analysis that says that they need a system in place and then asking us. This could be on the back of pre-dust hazard analysis and just knowing that they have housekeeping challenges that they're looking at on their site. And when somebody come on, just talk through, okay, what are the options here? What are things to consider when you're going through this? Mark started off with five really good questions to answer to help start to understand the challenge. As what material are you lifting? What material are you using? How much material? Is it hazardous or combustible? What type of power are you running and what's the budget look like? What type of material includes heavy materials, light materials, sticky, light, liquid, or including liquid? You know, big chunks, small chunks, that would all come into understanding what type of system could be best to use. How much? Is it a little material? Is it a lot of material? That comes into capacity. Hazardous or combustible, and we talked a lot about that in this episode. What type of power? Electricity, pneumatic, more recently, lithium ion battery. And what kind of budget are you looking at as well? We talked through the different kind of classifications. So you have class 2, div 1, which, again, I'm not an expert in this area, so I'll say in broad terms, combustible dust would normally be present in that area versus class 2, div 2, where combustible dust would not normally be present. That's a generalization or simplification of what's required at FPA 499. And then we also talked a bit about ACD, appliance for combustible dust, sort of a new option that's coming to the market as well. My guess is we'll be doing further podcast episodes on that topic moving forward as more options come to the market and more understanding comes in there as well. But I kind of want to highlight as something that folks should be looking at and that be coming up as an option in the future. Then we talked through some of the considerations on how you choose between these different systems. You know, do you have combustible dust at height? Do you have fugitive dust that's coming out of your process or your operation that's being released that can be contained in the ducting? That could be collected in effective layers and need to be cleaned. We talked about dust hazard analysis, hazard area classification. What are these documents and their recommendations telling you that are needed for combustible dust? These are all things that you'd be looking at to understand what type of options that you'd be looking at from a vacuum size. Budget is also one requirement, and obviously it's going to be there as well. You know, sometimes you run to low price but high cost. So you can spend a low price, but you can have very high cleaning costs if the solution that you need are not matched with what you actually need to achieve at the end of the day. So that's something to consider. Using one system, multiple systems, different certifications that are involved in different hazard areas, all those kind of come together, and having these conversations with the Nilfisk team on the different options. That's what we wanted to have Mark on today, is to talk through and say, okay, this is what this looks like. So as always, I want to say thank you for listening to the Dust Safety Science Podcast. Hope you have a safe and productive week ahead. I appreciate everything you're doing in interest handling combustible dust. Make it safe for every day. Keep up out there. See you now.